Good morning. My name is Ryan Fleming, and I am a member of your church council. I would like to welcome everyone to our worship today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through our live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. We have a few announcements this week. Vacation Bible School runs from August 19th to the 23rd. Registration and volunteer forms can be found on the table by the doors or from the church office. We are asking for donations of pajamas and t-shirts in adult sizes, deodorant, and pet treats. There will be a box by the chapel doors for donations. The new burrito project ministry will meet this Tuesday. If you would like to help assemble the burritos, we will meet in the Holy Trinity kitchen at 5:30 to prepare and heat the burritos. At 6:45, we will depart Holy Trinity and begin our delivery. Volunteers may participate in the preparation time, delivery time, or both. A sign-up sheet will be available on the table at the entranceway. We will be holding a breakfast meeting for all ushers and greeters at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, September 7th, at the Family Tree Restaurant. All those who currently usher or greet, or those who would be interested in joining, are invited to this breakfast meeting. Please call the church office to make your reservation. And please see the bulletin for any additional announcements. Thank you, God bless, and enjoy the service.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you and against one another. We are worried and distracted by many things. We fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
When we were laid low by sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ, forgiving us all of our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in this good news. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Together. Benevolent God,
you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
seated, and I invite any young people of the congregation forward for a time with Pastor Lee.
Summertime. You got a couple? All right. I am so nervous.
You should be.
Because you guys now know the deal, that this summer, you get to ask Pastor Brandon any question.
Oh, no, you got one more week.
Right,
one
all
more
right, week. So, no. So, you guys can ask me anything about God, the church, or the Bible, and I'll do my best to give you an honest answer. Any thoughts? Any questions? Any questions? You gotta help me because I know I do. Because otherwise, something else there will be out there. You'll definitely. Yeah, go ahead.
The first reading for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the Ecclesiastics, the first and second chapters. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun and see all its vanity and chasing after the wind. I hated all my toil in which I toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me and who knows whether they will be wise or foolish. Yet they will master all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of the laborers under the sun. because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all this toil and strain which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all you who dwell in the world. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding. Why should I be afraid in evil days when the wickedness of those at my heels surrounds me?
The wickedness of those who put their trust in their own brows and boast of their great riches.
One can never redeem another or give to God the ransom for another's life. In order to live forever and ever, and never give, see the grave.
For we see that the wise die also, like the dull and stupid, they perish and leave their wealth to those who come after them.
Their graves shall be their homes forever, their dwelling places from generation to generation, though they had named lands after themselves.
For them.
The second reading for today is recorded in Colossians, the third chapter. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you have also once followed. When you were living that life, but now you must get rid of all such things. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Thank you for that question, because it inaugurates the theme this day of deep thoughts, big questions, and deep questions for us to consider. Please pray first with me. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, we give you thanks that you have woke us this morning, stirred our hearts, gathered us together, and named and claimed us once again, your beloved, your children, your church. So pour your Spirit upon us. Let your love flow from this word and in this holy supper through us and into a whole world that is in such great need. And make of us your people for the sake of the world. Amen. So what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? What's the secret? Because, beloved, our world is just missing the mark these days. In the first verse of the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, someone named Koheleth claims authorship of this letter. Their name is translated by the NRSV as teacher. And so every time you see teacher, that is Koheleth who is naming themselves before us, claiming to be a son of David and carrying all the worldly privilege of a prince or king. If you were to read Koheleth's first chapter, you might very well become depressed. For they claim to have seen it all, done it all, and conquered all things. And like a kid, 3 days into summer vacation, or 3 hours into summer vacation, the author is bored to death. Chapter 1, verse 7. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they continue to flow. In other words, this guy gets mad when water flows downstream. That's just what water does. The author is furious. He goes on, "All things are wearisome, more than one can express. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, or the ear filled with hearing." In verse 12, included in the text in your bulletin, Koheleth says that he applied himself to seek and search out all that is done under heaven. In other words, they were privileged to have the time and money to travel the entire known world, in addition to having access to be able to see and experience all that the world has to offer. They went skydiving, they went cliff jumping, they ate the greatest of meals from the greatest cuisines. It's a privilege to have the time to take a holiday, and it's a privilege to have the affluence to travel. It's a privilege to be able to move about, not only locally, but globally, and to know that your movements won't be hindered by boundary or border. And Koheleth enjoys all of these privileges. But his big post on Facebook, the one that gets the most likes, is when he says, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. I've seen all the deeds under the sun, and all is vanity." And then he goes on a rant about work. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled. And why does he hate his work? Because he must leave it to somebody else. He writes, "So I turned my heart to despair. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and all their work is vexation. And I wonder if that's what some people are feeling. Is this the trap of affluence and privilege? This thinking that all is vanity, there is nothing new under the sun. I work and work, but it is for nothing. For who? For what? Koheleth has the privileges of power, prestige, wealth, and mobility, but he finds himself in the midst of despair. He had it all, and he feels empty, depressed, that the world is worthless. And I just wonder if that's one of the elements. If that's some of what a person is feeling, that it can lead them to pick up a gun and shoot into a crowd of people at Walmart or in another street where people are just out for another Saturday night. Combine the privilege and the power along with adding in some racism, which is as old as original sin, and one seeks the meaning of life as an extreme agenda for what life should look like. In writings, the shooter of this El Paso massacre published, he attacks immigrants and glorifies the perpetrator of a horrific act at two mosques in Christ Church in New Zealand. We don't yet know the motivation, or at least I didn't when I left for church this morning, of the shooter last night in Dayton. But how is it that people who often seem to have all the privileges of the world move to a place of despair, from despair to anger to perpetrating evil against fellow human beings? And what are we to say to the world as church? For there are some in the Church of Jesus Christ who would defend, if not these actions, those that lead up to it, that divide people from one another, drive fear, and encourage division. Christianity has before and is again being used to drive a false narrative of white supremacy over the value of others, and we reject this evil. Lutheranism has been used in such a way before, and we renounce that and reject it, and we reject it again today. We reject the evil that would open fire in Walmart. We reject the evil that would seek to harm another. We reject the evil that would drive a wedge between people. And we seek to find the meaning of life, the secret to community. Your life is hidden with Christ in God, the author of Colossians says. This is where the secret is. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. You must get rid of such things as anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language. Do not lie to one another, seeing as how you have stripped off the old self and you are now clothed in your new self, which is continually being renewed in the image of your Creator. Think about that. Clothed in Christ, in your baptism, you have put on your new self that is continually being renewed into the image of our Creator. What is the image of our Creator but one who is continually creating, one who is always loving, one who is often giving? And so that's where we are and who we are, creators, lovers, and givers, and it's where we find the meaning of life. The whole point of the parable that Jesus tells this morning is that the meaning of life is not in keeping it all to ourselves. Whether we're talking about the grain in our field or the toil of our hands, the resources of our families, the gifts of this country, or the privileges that we enjoy. The gifts that we have are not for ours alone, but to share and to give away. And that's the good news in the gospel. That if we have much, the grace comes in having the privilege of pouring it out, of giving it away. And if we have little, the grace comes in that as we clasp our hands together, our cup runneth over. It's all grace. Life is not all vanity. Life is full when we live generously, love relentlessly, and we give away all that we are, all that we have, and all that we love. Greg Ames yesterday told a lovely story of his father who died suddenly and unexpectedly just a week ago. Greg was in his father's car and going through the console and finding a couple of personal effects there. He realized, he said, it was not my father's intent to die. Not that he didn't know it wouldn't happen someday. But what Gregory meant was, my father didn't know it was going to happen right here and right now. That this happened suddenly out of the blue and we weren't even expecting it. And my dad was just in the midst of living. And so it occurred to me that one of the last things that Stephen said to me was, he said, Pastor, I'm ready. I've said everything I need to say to the people that I need to say it to. My kids know that I love them. I've lived a good life. I'm all right to let it go. Which means that those two things were both true. That Steve left this earthly life unexpectedly in a time that he did not expect, but also having fully lived, having poured out everything that he had. For this man would become known not as a great executive or a great banker, but do you know, Stephen, he gave his life for his family. He visited his beloved Sue Ann every day at Greenfields, and he loved her, and he poured himself out for her. The time came unexpectedly. But nothing was left unsaid because his life was poured out. His love was given out. And that's the meaning of life. Amen.
Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 9 of your worship bulletins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Treasuring your promise to hear us when we call, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation. Your people struggle with the weariness and toil of living in a broken world. Work through your church to restore justice and mercy. Strengthen all communities of faith, including the Buffalo City Cluster. For Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Your creation longs for generous care. Give growth to the fields, strength to farmers, ranchers, and laborers who toil in summer's heat, and wisdom to us to respect Earth's bounty. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Your world reflects your image in billions of unique ways. Touch every life, low and high, rich and poor, and sway every heart toward your merciful will. We pray especially for all men and women serving in the armed forces and their families. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Your people in this congregation praise you and pray for your almighty help. Comfort those who suffer from anxiety, depression, or stress. Provide for those in need. And especially today, we pray for those in Gilroy, in El Paso, and Dayton. And we pray for all those we now name aloud and those we remember in our hearts. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Your people love you. Guard and keep all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially today for Asia and Gaia. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Your saints who have died now rest in your merciful care. Comfort us in faith and love as we continue our labor on earth. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
All these things and more we ask in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with one another.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, for the greening earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith. Encourage us with hope. Inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh, in the holy and life-giving spirit, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine
is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, in this holy communion, you have welcomed us into your presence, nourished us with words of mercy, and fed us at your table. Amid the cares of this life, strengthen us to love you with all our heart, serve our neighbors with a willing spirit, and honor the earth you have made, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth from this assembly to share your word and sacrament with those who are sick, homebound, and imprisoned. In your love and care, nourish and strengthen those to whom we bring this sacrament, that through the body and blood of your Son, we all may know the comfort of your abiding presence. Amen. Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving. And the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.